So I'm excited. We got Lisa.
Yeah, we have a guest this week in the studio. I guess we'll start off how we normally do. Hi, guys. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy B, and I'm sitting next to
Wheezy, and we have Lisa Splifson.
Hi.
Who, by the way, has her tits all the way out on this table.
And is super out on this table.
Knitting. How big are your boobs?
I think I'm a 38 double F, which is fitting. So it's
which
like...
is insane because I'm a triple D and I feel like my tits are just ginormous. So where, and this is a cute ass bra. Where the fuck did you even get this bra from?
I got this shit online. I don't know. Some slave got it for me, but I got it online.
A slave got it
for
you.
I know why you're here.
It's it's like, it's pretty stretchy and shit. I just get really mad though when like I go, cause I'm like, I'm a thick bitch. And when I go online, if something is like labeled as a large,
they don't be
or
large,
extra
bitch.
Large,
they don't be extra large.
Like
dude,
they're
it's
not
like Asians. I know.
It's terrible. Like, and I lived in Singapore for a while. Oh, shopping in Asia? Bitch, I was looking at
one size
bitch,
fits all.
I was looking at these larges and extra larges, like, what's medium ass, 120 ass bitch is this fitting?
Because yeah, exactly.
It ain't fitting this.
Yeah, I know you can only see me all the time. This shit didn't even fit me, dog.
That's insane. No, like, Asia had super tiny stuff, and it's so funny. Like,
and I'm a
I love it. We got another thick bitch in the studio, bitch, because we going to talk about some shit.
Look, you and your four tits don't hang up on me, all right? I paid for these.
I'm just saying.
And I feel like I should be part of the club.
I'm mad that you paid for, what is that, a B? A C?
No, these are a 34C.
Yeah, you paid for a C. That's so
crazy.
Let
me tell you how my doctor described it. He says these are enough to fit in a grown man's hand. But it's true. But
are they? They look like they can fit. My hands, I'm a 5'1", bitch, and your tits look like they just fit in my hands.
Bitch, I have good, nice, I have good tits.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, can we get back to our goddamn?
Yes. So I want to, I guess, let our listeners know a little bit about our guests. Do you want to tell us kind of about yourself, what you do for a living, why we have you on Horrible Decisions?
Well, so I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a writer, and I also do dom work online. I do it in person sometimes if I, like, you know, have vetted out.
Yeah.
You have to, because you have to vet people. You have to background check motherfuckers, because people are fucking crazy. But yeah, I do dom work. Like, yeah, I do like my retail job to like supplement my income and shit. But I'm really passionate about dom work, and I'm passionate about talking about sex and consent in a positive way, because I just look back at the education that I was given on sex growing up, and consent. I learned about consent from my mom. I didn't learn about that from school. I didn't learn about that from anybody really. And I like to talk openly about these things because I feel that Black women are oppressed in many ways, but one of the ways is that like our sexuality is kind of like taken from us. Like, we're sexualized from birth.
Yeah,
from absolutely. Birth, extremely sexualized. And like, there's all this shit where it's like, oh, well, you shouldn't conduct yourself in this way, or you shouldn't dress like this because you're letting down your community and you're letting down this. It's like, why is it that my body is vulgar? Like, why is it that because of my race and because I'm bigger and I have big boobs, like, why does that make me vulgar? Like, why does that, and it doesn't make any sense. It's
no.
Like, that's you pushing your white supremacist, fat phobic ideals onto me. And I'm tired. I ingested that shit for a long time. And I
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 24 years old.
And so, when do you think you started learning that it was okay to be this sexual and be this person?
I think like when I went to college, I think maybe like my junior year of college, like I just started like exploring things on my terms. And that's when I felt the most comfortable in my own skin. And that's when I felt the most, that's when my sex life got better, when I started saying like, no, like I want things this way, or I like things this way, or, you know, like I'm a polyamorous person. So like when I'm engaging, and like also just like the whole way that polyamory is painted in this society. Is
God,
like,
we needed you like 20 minutes
we
ago.
We definitely
while,
just had
while
this
you were
conversation.
In the lobby, we were discussing Nola, have you watched She's Gotta Have It?
Not yet.
Okay. So she called herself polyamorous, and we both were
and
like,
we kind of we disagreed with how she used the title, and I think she judged the show based on what she saw as polyamory, and then I broke down kind of how I thought that she wasn't poly, but the show made sense to me. It resonated mm-hmm. with me. So it would have been great to have you on.
But I thought it was a Black show talking about polyamory because, and by the way, I just want to tell you guys, I found Lisa on Instagram on my Explore page and watched your Insta story. I was like, oh my God, this bitch is dope. And I really wanted to have someone that was just pro-feminist, pro-black, but even from a feminist perspective, I didn't want someone white because I felt like a lot of the things they said can't resonate with our listeners. Mm-hmm. This is a black podcast, and I didn't want that Lena Dunham shit where...
Oh, God.
Who is Lena Dunham?
Fucking Ziploc.
Creator of...
She's what?
Her lips?
Yes, she's... I call that bitch Ziploc.
So because... you may hear brilliant idiots talk about her.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I call this bitch Ziploc bag lips because her lips look like the opening of a Ziploc bag and she needs to zip it because she keeps saying shit that's like really fucking offensive. Basically, she's like the epitome of white feminism.
She was the girl who was director of Girls and she created the show. But by the way, I actually really loved the show, which makes me so much more angry that I'm like, fuck, I hate that I want to support this bitch so much, but hate her. So she was the one who made the comment about like Odell Beckham not speaking to her because she's fat and white. Oh, well, maybe he just didn't see me. Like,
he's just
fucking
sitting
sob story ass bitch. Like, I just, ugh.
It's so great. This
and a lot of feminists are just for white girls, and it's Lena. And that's why I was very worried about wanting someone to empower us, but really just speaking for women that we can't relate to.
Well, one thing that I guess want to touch with you on, because it's something that you mentioned in your opening and it makes sense and I resonate with it completely, being a curvy female and you feeling that our bodies are sexualized, mm-hmm. even at a young age, it's funny because I remember even as early as maybe fifth grade, for sure sixth grade, in middle school, I would wear maybe something that a skinny mm-hmm. girl would wear. And I remember just the teachers having such a problem with me wearing it because of my butt, my thighs. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what's the problem with me wearing this? And there's a white girl with shorter shorts than me, mm-hmm. shorter skirts than me, crop tops.
And it's like,
and it wasn't a problem. It was literally a problem because of my size. Yeah. And so when, at what age did you start feeling that your body was being looked at as a sexual object because you were maybe more developed in like shit? I remember I had at 14, I had a fake ID and men would approach me like I was a grown-ass woman because my body looked well-developed, but I'm a thick girl. And so at what age did you start feeling that you were being sexualized because of your body and your curves?
Pretty young, like around 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
Around
that's,
age.
That's fifth and sixth grade. Yeah.
Same. That's that preteen coming into age thing. Hold on, before we get into that, because I know you really want to dig into some BBW conversation with a lot of, we're on a blog and a lot of girls are just super hating
super
hard.
Super saying a lot of stuff, so I want to talk with you.
So have you heard any of our shows?
No, not yet. No.
So Kink of the Week is something that we do every week where we pretty much pick a fetish and it's usually a really hard word to say and then we describe it. My favorite was aquaphilia, where you get sexually aroused from being in water and I have this fantasy I want to be drowned. It's weird.
Super weird.
The one I wanted to bring up is very basic, but there's a lot of different versions, and I know you probably know about them. So erotic humiliation is mm-hmm. definitely a kink. And basically, it's consensual psychological humiliation to produce erotic excitement. Mm-hmm. As much as when I think of humiliation, it's like using your mouth as an ashtray or this crazy shit.
Yeah, that's
I like to be leashed up and spit on and stuff like that, and that's it too. Mm-hmm.
But that's from the sub side of it. And I think where I think me and our guests are going to relate is the dom side.
Obviously. Right. You have to be a sub to, you know, be the one who's humiliated, obviously. But
right.
I heard this. I was reading this term on Wikipedia that I liked. It says the most common name for the individual being humiliated is the bottom. And the person who humiliates is the top. I always think of this as gay. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, sometimes I've heard that before.
But you normally are used to the term slave. Or
yeah,
what else?
I'm like slave, or like I call, if my slaves are white, I call them my raw pasta bitch boys.
Raw pasta bitch boys.
Bitch, yeah. When I tell you that's our new shit right
raw
now.
Raw pasta bitch boys. And it's funny, me and Weezy were just talking. Another nickname I most recently got into a little findom, and he liked to be called cunt and pay pig.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. pay pig
is a cash. Yeah. Is pay pig, cash pig.
Cash pig, yeah.
What's the other one?
What are some other nicknames, do you know?
Like wallet boy. Yeah, things like that. And those are usually like the hashtags that you would use.
Oh, bitch, I was looking all through them hashtags.
Wait,
bitch.
You were using the hashtags in Twitter to find for people to
because
find you.
Because more men, so, and it's funny because we have so many women asking us, how do I find guys who like feet fetishes and all this? It's so funny because Twitter, like if you look up the hashtags, so my friend introduced me to this femdom and it was super weird. He wanted to be super humiliated.
Well, he wasn't the femdom.
Well, we were looking up what femdoms do to pay pigs. He was a pay pig. And we literally looked up the hashtag. And you see these women, literally, I'm in a suite thanks to my slave. And you fucking bitch, look what I bought with your credit card. It's super
Lisa
crazy.
I think it was the one where you said a guy borrowed money from his mom to talk to
you. Yeah, he did.
Please tell us about that.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so he's this guy. So the great thing about Twitter is that, like, I get messages from people all over the world.
Right.
And this guy was from the UK.
Oh, that's where mine was too. I think that's where they at, bitch.
A lot of them are there. I need to go over
Let's
there.
Go to London.
Maybe because American women are more assertive. I don't want to say that.
No, they're just like, I guess they're just like really kind of
They're just not that,
that
polite.
Into that over there or some shit. But he like found me and he had like paid for sessions before. And so when I do them online, like I give them tasks on things to do, like I made one guy lick a toilet.
They like that stuff.
But the thing is that you have people think
do they
that
tell you about it, or they have to take pictures of themselves?
They have to take pictures of themselves doing it and then send it to me and stuff. But the thing is that there's a lot of work that goes into it beforehand, because before we get started, I'm like, okay, I need to know what are your triggers, what are your hard limits, like what are things that you like absolutely won't do.
And it's funny because hard limits, we've discussed, we had a dom on, his name was King Noir, his porn star as well, and he discusses hard limits from in terms of like sex. I love that it's so professional from your end that you're like, I know this is how you want me to treat you like shit, but how far can I go?
Yeah,
well, yeah, because you don't want to like, because that those are the foundation. It's not BDSM if it's not like consentful communication. That's the foundation of any kind of dom sub relationship.
Did you have that with your guy in the UK, Mandy?
So yeah, it's actually he would say exiting slave mode. Because what he would do was during slave mode, he wanted to be called cunt and all these terrible things. And he wanted us to tell him like how much we were going to take from him. And then he would be like, okay, let's exit this, because he knew that we were beginners. Mm-hmm. So what he would do is, I want you to do this. I want you to be meaner to me. You're not mean enough. Mm-hmm. I want you to do this. And so he would exit slave mode and get into slave mode, and when he exited slave mode, it would be his normal self, because he was like fucking hella rich and super professional, super educated. But he would exit slave mode to say, hey, okay, I'm back to being a regular
now,
person.
Do you ever have that, because your sessions are your sessions, so how does that work for you?
Well, I develop like safe words, like yellow means like I want you to keep doing what you're doing,
okay,
but like
I
draw
do that with
back
BDSM.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Draw
okay.
back a little bit. And red means I need you to stop, like right now.
Have you
like,
had men?
This is them using these code
yes,
words
with
for
me,
you?
With
okay.
me, yes. I had, and at one time, like I was doing like a real time session with somebody, and they had to say red because he wanted me to like choke him and bust his balls and stuff. And I told him, I was like, you need to tell me like when to draw back and when to stop fully if you need that to happen. Because at the end of the day, like you need to leave here safe.
Of
and
course.
That's the thing. That's right. Like people think that, oh, I'm bratty and I'm a bitch, so I can be a dom. It's like, no, that's not what it's about at all. Like you
I've heard
have,
that as well.
Yeah, you have that power because the sub is giving you that power and you can't abuse it. So you have to like ask questions and stuff. And so like he told me, he was like, red, like I need you to stop. And I was like, okay.
What was going on that he wanted red for?
He wanted me to crush his balls and
with what?
With my hands.
Oh my God.
And to choke him at the same time. So I was doing that. And so since he couldn't talk because I was choking him, I was like, okay, you have both hands free. You tap my arm like this three times, like in wrestling or some shit. And he did. He was like, red, red. And so then I stopped. I let him collect himself for like another 2 minutes. And then we would go back doing some other things because he was just
now
like.
Now, let me ask you, because I'm a sub all the way and I love to be dominated. And when I've used a safe word, I think only once or twice, and it was just because something was too painful. Immediately after, they were so intense with kissing, touching, ask me if I'm okay, super attentive. Do you get that way? Do you feel like they need a lot of affection right after? Or maybe that's a female thing.
It's dependent on who it is.
Uh-huh.
It's dependent on who it is. This person was really into like humiliation and shit like that. So he would not have wanted me to like coddle him or whatever, but like he would need space. So I'd be like, okay, like I give you like 1 minute to collect yourself. And he'd be like, oh, thank you, goddess. And then he'd collect himself. And I'd be like, okay, do you want
to
start?
Who gives that name? Do you tell him to call you goddess?
Yeah, they have to call me that.
So I wanted to ask you this because we had Lethal Lips on the show. And we talked about different things with her and how guys of this nature don't even necessarily want intercourse.
Yeah.
It's normally arousal through being humiliated or through being hurt or being, you know, just these different ways. So I want to know, when they approach you, is it always like, you know, for these reasons, or is sex involved sometimes? Or like, I'm just curious if sex is ever involved or it's just never involved with these type of guys.
I never ever would have sexual intercourse with
like penetration.
No, I wouldn't. But what about pegging? I would do that. I would do that. Like, that's fine. But like this, it would have to be with somebody who would A, like pay me extra for it because that's extra work.
Right.
And B, someone that I would, that would feel comfortable, like not only with me, but that I would feel comfortable with them, that we would be able to communicate really well.
You feel like pegging is more work than ball busting?
Well, yeah, because like I don't know.
But that's because she's more comfortable.
I'm always used to my hand. Like, okay. I always do stuff with my hands anyway.
Because for me, I think I could peg someone easier than I could crush their balls.
I could definitely peg someone easier.
But that's exactly why I really appreciate what you said. People say, oh, I'm a bitch, so I could do this, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't think I have the mental capacity to do that to somebody.
No, it's...
Without thinking, oh, this is too much.
And so before we started, it's funny because we were talking kind of about you charging someone $10 a minute because I know our listeners want to know, how much does someone pay to get their balls busted? How much in this realm, what are the normal fees or costs of these certain tasks that you're doing? Because it's not sex.
Yeah.
We know that sex can go for $200 to $1,500 to $1,000 to $10,000. There's so many different pay grades for sex, but for this it's so different.
Yeah.
So what are the different costs?
I've seen it on Tinder for $100.
Well,
on Tinder, yes, someone asked to be kicked in the balls with heels for $100.
I feel like those are for amateur bitches.
I can see a lot of people ask for things like that because it's a combination of like the foot fetish and then the ball busting. Like,
right. Okay.
I can see that. Well, for that session, that real time session, that guy paid $250 for the hour for me to like. Which is, like, fine, you know, but, like, now, like, my rate, like, my, I don't have, like, complete set rates.
A lot of women
We've had a few
sex workers, and it's this, that's a very consistent
answer. That's the same thing. There's no set rate.
Because there's, like, because there are just certain people that, like, you know, like, there are certain subs that I've had where I'm just like, yo, like, you are so fucking, like, annoying, and I can't,
I'm gonna charge you more.
I'm gonna charge you extra because, like, being around you makes me fucking angry.
Let me ask you, do you get... are you aroused?
Me? You know, sometimes, depending on, like, I'm always aroused because money's involved, and money always,
money
does make me come, and money gets me to where I need to be. But in terms of, like, me, like, I just feel like, I don't know, it's more of like an appreciation for me getting treated the way I deserve to be treated. Because it's like, yeah, you are like a slime ball. You should be licking my feet. You should be on, you know, crawl. You should be my ashtray. Like, you should be. So
what's
the
weirdest shit you've heard? Because I've seen, let me tell you the things I've seen that are weird and tell me if this is like base level.
Mm-hmm.
Being the ashtray with the mouth open.
Yeah.
Dirty panties.
Oh, yeah. I made some money selling my old panties.
Wait, really? Really?
Yeah. Because the base rate for that is, like, at least
$100. $100 to
give
someone
days?
Old panties.
Huh? I had, like, well, the, I don't know. Because like, I have underwear now that, like, I've had for a while. And now I used to just throw them out. But now I'm just, like, I take a picture, I put it on Twitter, and people, like, will bid.
What?
Yeah,
no
people will bid.
Wait, and these are worn or washed?
Huh? No, you don't wash them.
Wait, okay.
You don't
I
wash
have
them.
To ask. I know this is disgusting.
I know
I'm
it's
sorry.
Gonna be a period question. Like, I already
no,
know because
no.
you're
they,
disgusting.
Do they need to be like stained? Like how dirty do they want?
No, like they like it, it. They just need to smell like me.
Okay, so they don't have to be like worn all day long. They just have to have the scent.
Yeah, and usually like what I do is I'll like I'll like post a picture of the underwear and then I'll be like, I'm about to head to the gym.
See, that's so not creepy to me. Like, I've left my panties in doohouse and be like, I can still smell it. Like, I love to smell your panties. Yeah. That's because your scent is not dirt. Like, I, well, shit, when I'm fucking with women, I love the smell of pussy. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily, I always assume panties gotta be like stank.
No, I mean, they definitely have to have like your scent on them, and it has to be clear that like you've worn them before. Like, they're, you didn't like they're yours. Like, okay, yeah. That's the main thing. Like, they want something.
So a picture of you in the panties.
Yeah, a picture of me in the panties. Like, and then I'll do videos of me like, because I usually, before I like send them off to somebody, I like work out in them, and then I like put them in a Ziploc bag, wrap it up nicely,
keep that
and send
sealed.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Ziploc bag. Like, you done it at motherfucking panties.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so you have dirty panties for about $100. Mm. Ball busting is a different price. What other things? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, what's the grossest shit you've
What's
heard?
Some other stuff?
Has anyone wanted to eat your shit?
Yes.
And that's my
I can't deal with shit. That's my hard limit.
I think that's everyone's hard limit. A lot of people.
Not everybody. Cool.
So
Lisa people...
Lips was saying that I don't think she ever said eating. Maybe she did.
No, she said that
shit on his chest and she literally said she charged sit on a toilet. For that.
Yeah,
so there's like
a
toilet seat that you can actually put on top of a toilet.
Yes.
But so what she said happened was that you would lay the toilet bowl over his stomach or over his chest wherever he wanted to be shitted on, mm-hmm. and you sit on the toilet like a regular toilet.
Right.
And you pretty much shit on him. Mm-hmm. And so you've had people want to do that, and that's
yes.
where you're like, no, bro, that's...
I just can't... And this is nothing against people who, like, can and do that, because everybody does their thing as long as it's consentful. That's all that matters. I personally, like, cannot deal with shit because of, like, trauma that I've endured. Like, okay. I've had homeless people on the subway try to extort money from me by,
damn.
Like, shit. What? Yeah, when I was 18... This is the reason why I don't deal with shit. When I was 18 years old, I was coming home from work late at night, and this homeless lady ran up the stairs in front of me and shat in a graffiti shopping bag and proceeded to ask me for money. And I actually did not have any money. And I was like, yo, I'm so sorry. Like, you went through all that work to, like, ask me for something. And I didn't have it. And she chased me 2 blocks, like, trying to hit me with her bag of shit. It was one of the most traumatic. I didn't take the subway for 3 days after that. I was really traumatized. And that's why
God.
I can't.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, when you see, like, an adult, like, shit in a graffiti shopping bag, like, you just can't deal with shit anymore after that. So I just can't.
It's funny that you say that, because we both said, oh, my God, we would never shit on anyone. And if you guys listen to episode 22, we literally had a discussion like,
how much it was low.
Would it need for you to shit on somebody?
No, we talked about
us getting
shit on.
At least a couple stacks.
Okay, so what's it, give your number, because we gave our numbers on episode 22.
No, we said for someone to shit on us.
Oh, that ain't happening. No.
No.
Yes, it was, we did. We said, how much would you take if someone shit on you?
And, then we had a discussion like, what kind of shit would it be?
I think it was Preach who was sitting there like,
would it be a solid shit, a diarrhea?
No, I think we said 10,000 was the lowest.
No, but I think it was 20,000.
Nah, I think we got 10.
We got the 10, bitch.
Because if it was cold hard cash, if it was a hard shit, bro, and you give me 10 G's and I can pay my rent for 5 months, fuck it.
Is there a number that you would take
to shit on somebody?
Like $5,000.
Okay.
And how is there a number at all that it would take for someone to shit on you?
25 stacks.
Bitch, I think that's what we started with. And then we kind of went down. But yeah, okay, that's about right.
Now,
I'll take like 25 stacks.
As far
stacks.
As golden showers, though, are you comfortable with that? I know it's very common. And...
Oh, yeah, that's...
I don't even think that's a kink anymore.
No,
we're all
not.
Just pissing on everyone.
Yeah, I haven't done that, like, yet. I've definitely had people ask for that and want to do that. But then, like, it ends up not working out because, like, they end up being, like, time wasters. Or
yeah,
they end up,
because
there are a lot, you have to really know what you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. when you're doing this business. And it's one of the reasons why I love doing dom work, because dom work allows me to not only be assertive with what I want, what I care about, and how I want to be treated, but I demand respect at all times.
I know, that's right.
And I just don't, like, I've had a lot of guys like offer me extra money or want to do this, but then they'll say something or they'll want me to do something, and I'm just like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, a lot of,
like,
people,
what?
Race play.
We talked about that.
Wow, this is on my list to ask you. Are these guys usually white?
Yeah, well, a lot of them are usually white, and then I also
are they normally married or are they normally virgins?
A lot of them are married. A lot of them have girlfriends. A lot of them, and the thing that bothers me is that, like, I had one guy who spent like a lot of money on Amazon to send to me, and then all of a sudden all my shit like got canceled and he disappeared, and I'm like 100% certain it's because his girlfriend found, I mean, yeah, like when 20K goes missing from your bank account, like, yes, you're gonna ask questions.
That's what our male escort said on that bonus episode, like, yeah, the wife found out. Now, the race play, I completely agree with you. We've both had conversations
about it.
Like,
yeah,
it gets weird because, you know, if I fuck a white guy and like I always feel like there's this black girl thing that's gonna come up, or
yeah,
this fetishized thing. When you, but you also said you call them raw pasta. You, are you talking in terms of race play on your, like, you can, do they want you to demean them?
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, like, I look at it as I'm providing a service. I am reprogramming white men to understand that black woman is God, and you're going to worship me, and you're going to be there because you're just like a raw pasta bitch. Like, you're not, like, who fucking cares about you? Like, you have the whole world bending over backwards for you and shit. No, you're not going to do that with me. But I don't, cannot deal with white guys when they're like, oh, I want you to say, like, I've gotten requests to be like, oh, I kind of want,
black.
Yeah, they want that shit. Like, and that's happened to me in real life before, not when I was doing dom shit, when I was just going on a date with I went on a date with this one white dude, and it was, everything was really fine until we started having sex, and then he was like, oh, you're my little black bitch, don't you like white dick, blah, blah, blah.
I hate when they say, don't you like this white cock? It bothers me.
I got him back, though.
It's so crazy.
I got him back.
What did you say? How did you get him back?
So I just started feeling really sick in my stomach, and then he like said something else that was like, he wanted me to call him something, and it was like some kind of like weird. Yeah, no.
No!
It was something along those lines, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna say that. Like, no. And I just felt this, like, just sick in my stomach. And when he was done, I got up and I was like, I need to go to the bathroom. And I'm walking to the bathroom and I'm just like, no, like, what am I doing? Like, this fucking piece of shit just did this shit to me and just made me feel like less of a human being, and I'm never gonna forget about this. So let me make sure that he never forgets about me. So I went back to his room and I was like, oh, like, do you want some head? And he was like, yeah.
No, you did not know I'm
so
on his
I brought him to the living room and I sat him down and I like pretended like I was about to suck his dick, and then I got up and projectile vomited on his face and his dick and his stomach, like the Exorcist.
Wait, you just made yourself throw up?
No, I was going to the bathroom to throw up after he said that shit to me, because it was just like vile. I couldn't deal with it. So I and he let out this scream that was like so satisfying. He was like, why did you do that? I was like, that's how you make women feel, you fucking asshole. Like, I told him, I was like, you can say whatever the fuck you want about me, but anytime somebody asks to suck your dick, you're gonna remember me. So you better
Have
you dated white guys since?
Not for free. No.
This bitch said not for free.
That was your last white guy date?
No, I mean, I was homeless for a while. Like, when I was in college and I would come back to New York, because I ran away from home when I was 17. So I was homeless for a while. And, like, I would go on dates for food.
I know, that's right. And, like, a lot of females have done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Shit, I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, I'm not saying I fuck for, like, you know, because I can't do it myself, but I ain't gonna lie, I ain't going on dates for sake, bitch.
And it's funny because we are now in our life, it's so funny because we look back and laugh at things, but there's definitely been times where a bitch ain't want to go grocery shopping because I ain't want to spend that money on food. So damn sure somebody who I did not like, I allowed to take me out.
No,
so it's funny that she said that.
Another question I have is, like, what is the typical, like, what do you see the trend in? Their age, their job, are they normally in dominating work? Because a lot of people say subs are dominant in their personal lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had, like, a lot of my subs have been, like, businessmen or, like, managers at certain places. And, like, they're in control of every other aspect of their life. So they want a moment where, like, that control can be taken away and it's kind of like a relief.
Right.
So they, like, come to me. And a lot of them have been white. And I've also been happy to see that, like, I've gotten a couple of
black men like it too.
Yeah, and they a lot of the black guys who do hit me up and stuff, we'll be like, looking.
Let me stop. No, but they do. And it's funny that she's even saying that black guys are now hitting her up for this, because I only deal with black guys and I'm a dom like you. And so I've done the strap on with black men. I've, like, fingered their ass, or I make them, and these niggas be like 6'11". So it's just like, it's every sense of the way of turning a man into a sub, and they could feel powerful in their height. They're powerful at their jobs.
Have you found that, like, some of the men you do it with, you're attracted to?
Or
does this make you unattractive? Question.
Yeah, are they good? Are they good looking?
Not for the most part, no.
Okay.
No, maybe like one time. one time, but like I not really.
Okay.
Not really.
And so how do you psychologically, aside from the money, because I feel like a lot of women think they can do this, but yet when you're with someone who you're just not attracted to, whether it's age, whether it's a small dick, how do you psychologically prepare yourself to be around and know that you're pleasing someone who you have no type of sexual arousement from?
I make a price for myself that makes me comfortable enough to do that.
Okay.
I'm like, if I'm going to be dealing with this person in this kind of way, I am making a price for myself where it's just like, even if it's a bad session or he's annoying or whatever, I walk away. I'm like, okay, but okay, I got this paper.
And,
like,
so and I think that's the great thing about sex workers that we've all had on is a lot of them feel liberated by the money. And they're like, it's not like I'm doing this because I have no other choice. Like, I'm enjoying what I do because right. I know I'm getting this. I wanted to ask this question, and I know how it's going to come across, but you are not the fucking average Instagram-looking hooker like that we think is this.
Why?
Like,
wait,
I want to use that word because these bitches on Instagram
how you do this. I hate it.
I cannot stand these bitches on Instagram that have the same look and that act like they fucking, you know, oh, I'm doing this and I'm a boss bitch and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm a sex worker and I'm not proud of it. And that's why I use that fucking word because I can't stand it. It's like they're not proud of the work they do.
Not all of them are.
Not all of them. But for the most part, there are a lot of girls on Instagram that have this fucking same look, this brown hair, this lips, tits, same outfit, same Fashion Nova look. And everybody thinks it's this thing. And then they're just so popular for being this Insta model. And they have, you have this thing about them in, you know, our minds.
Yeah.
And you don't look like these girls. You have your own look. You look different. You're curvy. Everything about you is different. Do you think that's why men are chasing after this with you? Do you think that's why you're successful?
I think I'm successful not only because I, it's not just that I look different, it's that I own the way that I look. I'm very, like, I, and it's taken me a long time to get to this place. But I think what draws people to me is that I'm actually very confident.
Right.
Like, I'm very confident.
Because you are hot, but it, like, we, it's this European standard of beauty, this Instagram standard
but
we have now.
But it's so funny, and I don't want to take away from this question, because, of course, I feel like I get a lot of negative feedback for this, and I feel like it's such a stupid way to think, because I've had girls come to me, and we'd be dealing with the same guys, but because they look a certain way and they think I look a certain way, they feel like I shouldn't. And I want even the women that are listening to know, you don't have to fit that IG model stereotype.
Absolutely not.
To appeal to any guys. And so what men that are going to her for, like, maybe like her size, maybe would never even want
an Instagram
model.
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's something that's not, like, we just assume that this is the standard of beauty, and it's not, because you're hot and you're sexy and you're pretty.
Confidence,
like,
is a big thing.
Confidence,
I think,
is
that's
a big
really
thing, and it's also realizing that, like, there's no, in my mind, what helped me get to where I am today is realizing that, like, there is no, like, yes, there, like, there is the European standard, but in my mind, there's, beauty has no size, beauty
Boom.
Has no standard, beauty has, like,
but that's
there
not
are different.
To, that's to us, but there is to, a, there is a thing that people think is a look they have to attain.
No,
think of the Kardashian look.
Exactly. And it's, and but why is it like that? It's like, it all goes back to fucking white supremacy and capitalism. If you make that the standard of beauty, you're gonna have a whole bunch of people paying for surgeries, paying for certain, like, makeup
right.
kits, paying
right.
for certain wigs, paying for certain clothes to dress like this person, to be like this person. Like, it's all like a kind of plot to make more revenue off of people's insecurities.
Right.
And it's just, it's crazy. And it's just
like, it's like when you read a magazine sometimes, like, I think maybe because I was stoned when I did it, but I was going through a Cosmo because I've been getting an issue for free. And I'm like, this shit is driving. I literally was like, I need to get a face mask. My face isn't tight enough. Shit. And I'm very comfortable in how I look. And I started feeling ugly. It was the weirdest thing. Just flipping through. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. I can't imagine someone in my state of mind who's comfortable with themselves is doing this. Imagine someone who isn't.
Yeah. And I used to be that person. I used to really not be comfortable
all had these moments.
In my own skin. I used to really not like, I used to go on crazy diets and shit to, like, lose weight because I was really not happy with my body and shit. And I actually became, I used to work out to lose weight, and it would never, like, work, it would just make me hate myself more. And it only really started to work for me when I was like, I'm working out because it makes me feel good. And it helps my, I mainly work out because like I have really bad depression, anxiety, and PTSD. And when I work out, it helps me kind of secure everything and get everything together and shit. And it's just, when I started doing things for me, I started feeling better about myself. And then I realized, I was like, yo, like, people, you can fucking lay down for somebody and have them walk over you, and they're gonna be like, oh, you're not flat enough. Like, why are you? Like, it don't matter. Like,
that inner confidence is super good. And I'm curious, because you're definitely on the curvier side. You have J or H, whatever.
Double F. I checked.
Double F tits, and it's just like, do the men that you deal with, do they glorify you for your size?
Yes.
They do a lot.
That's dope.
And I think that that's super dope. And I think that it's something, even when Tahoe was on the show, not realizing like that guys actually love big women.
We had someone on, and it was more of the, it was when the Usher thing happened. It was like, everybody was like, oh
yeah. And everyone,
but it's just like, he would never, because she's so big.
Yes, they would, because BBWs are fucking popping. Like, that's just what it is. And the thing is that like all that shaming and shit is just like, it's coming from, when I hear a man or anybody like shame me for my size, I'm just like, yo, that you're just projecting some shit that you haven't dealt with onto me.
It is.
Look, I think that the men that deal with us because, or just like me, I kind of fuck with the same type of looking niggas.
I deal with the same type of guys.
If you like thick girls, you're gonna like thick girls. I've never heard a man that I fuck with, honestly, talk about big women in that way. That's why I really do think it's projecting something else. It's because you feel like you have to be with a girl that's smaller. I've never heard anybody say something like that. The way that niggas be dogging thick big bitches, even dudes that fuck with me at my size, I've never heard them talking that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like when you're so in your mind about what you think you need to be with, which is hence why I wanted to bring up this, to me, it's almost at the point where they're average looking Instagram girls. They might be cute or pretty or whatever. They don't even look like themselves probably off of these pictures.
Right.
But we all think that we've kind of gotta look like this or have to dress like this. And that's why I really appreciate what you do, because it's not only owning your work, but your look.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's also just, like, at the end of the day, like, when someone comes at me for my size, in my head, I'm just, like, you're projecting your shit onto me, because we all know that you go back to your mom's basement and you beat your meat to Fashion Nova curve. So you need to shut
Fashion
the fuck up.
Fashion Nova curve.
Yes, that's what they be fucking doing, and it's ridiculous. And then, like, thin people will try to, like, jump on the bandwagon, try to come at me, like, oh, well, you want to look like me, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like, I like
bitch,
the
way. Hell.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, nah. Like, when people lay down with me, it's all
people
like,
assume that when bigger girls wear tighter clothes that they want to be smaller, and that I find very funny.
No, I think
that. No, bitch, how am I? I'm big. I'm big, baby, like, the whole
like,
time.
I've seen
I can't
on the
drink.
Fashion Nova curve comments like, oh, Instagram got them thinking they got to put this shit on. No, bitch, we want to put that shit on because it's hot.
That's the other thing
that people need to understand. It's just like, when I dress the way that I dress, it's not for you. It's for me to look good. It's for, so when I see my reflection, I'm like, oh, who's that fine ass bitch? Oh, it's me. Like, it has nothing to do with you. And that's the thing that gets me pissed off about dudes who'll be like, oh, well, if you don't want me to comment on what you're wearing, like, why are you wearing that outside? It's like, who the fuck? No woman gets up in the morning and thinks, oh my God, the crispy dude on the corner who's been wearing the same Supreme t-shirt, the same Tommy boxers and shit, who eats pussy from the back with holes in his boxers and socks and shit. Yeah, he gonna be on the corner, so let me wear this. Like, no. Like, y'all can't even tell the difference between, I can't, no.
I wanna ask you a question while we're on size, and it's gonna lead me to something that actually Weezy brought to my attention. So do you feel like your size has affected your sexuality in any way? And I say this before I lead into something else.
Yeah.
In what way?
Yeah, well, because, like, it definitely, like, affected it a lot more in the past, because I felt like a lot in the past, like, I couldn't wear certain things or I couldn't do certain things because of my size. Like, I used to be really afraid of sitting on someone's face because they'd be like, be like, oh, what if I hurt them? What if I do this? And it's just like, no, like, fuck, I'm going to ride your fucking face. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And you're going to enjoy it. There are ways to do it. And it's just like, I realized, I was like, all these things that I believed that I couldn't do, I thought I couldn't love myself, I thought I couldn't ride someone's face. I thought I couldn't wear this type of lingerie or this type of thing because of the way that I look. Like, it's all bullshit.
I love that that was your answer, because I actually brought this up because Gigi McGuire from Lip Service, Angela Yee's Lip Service, actually said that big women are freakier because they have to be.
Now, I didn't hear this myself, but we're on, like, our podcast people will talk about it on this, like, blog thread, Lipstick Alley. And someone brought Mandy up because we have a podcast talking about being freaky. And they're like, well, Gigi did say, you know, big girls have to be freaky.
Have to be freakier. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you said the complete opposite. You felt like at times you couldn't ride a nigga's face. You couldn't do this because of your size. Mm-hmm. And I think, I wish I could write, but they'd be anonymous. But I would like to know what episode and how she referenced that, because I think that it comes to even bigger girls suck dick better.
Now, I and it's know just like that they, like they bigger make... girl, like I think people underestimate the sex that bigger girls have. So I think that's why they like to say big girls get like the we fuck
can't
down. Get,
yeah, but it's like but because they act like we can't
feel
move.
Like we have to because I'm like, no. And that's the thing that I think the connotation may come from. People assume that because you're thicker, you're going to be more insecure, so you feel like you've got
to
do more.
You have to do more, which is right, which is what I think how it was referenced.
There's men I've been with that made me feel less than because I didn't have enough curves, and I felt like I had to do more because I wasn't that bitch.
Right.
And, like, it's just funny how we just assume these women are super insecure, and I just really appreciate how both of you can love your body, make other women love their bodies.
Yeah.
And we all are sitting here hearing about these men worshiping you, calling you goddess, nonstop niggas on your dick.
Oh, they be like, not, and it's so crazy because I'm actually working on, well, I have something coming up. And so I was talking to a guy who I've been dealing with for 10 years, and he felt the need to tell me, like, I love every inch of your body. If I was your man, I would just feed you to watch you eat. And
that's another service that I provide.
So and this is why I want to say that. I wanted to talk about this. What exactly is that? And I know it's a kink. So explain what guys want you to do sometimes.
Well, sometimes, because I also, like, will sometimes, like, film myself, like, cooking. And okay. So, and one time I just, like, put a video of, like, what I made. And, like, I know how to cook. Like, I know how to throw down in the kitchen.
Girl.
And this dude was like, yeah, I know how to season my food and shit. So this dude hit me up on Twitter and was like, oh, like, can I just watch you eat it? And I was I was like, you need to pay for the meal though. Like, this is how much the groceries cost and blah, blah, blah. So he sent me $50 to
just
like,
to
and
watch
I
you eat.
Yeah, it was a 2-minute video of like me eating.
That's it.
And enjoy. Because the thing, also the thing
did
with
you have,
me,
like, what did you have to
do? I really enjoy food. And like, I work at a restaurant and my coworkers even tell me, like, you should make videos of yourself eating good food and sell it because I get really like into it. Like,
you be moaning while you be eating.
Yeah, if it's a good meal, like hell.
Bitch, today
yeah.
I was eating some chicken at a place called Bonchon. If y'all ain't never been there, it's Midtown Fried Chicken. And all of a sudden they started playing Kanye and I'm sitting there eating a chicken vibing, bitch. And I'm like, God damn, I love to eat.
Yeah.
And then I realized all the vacations I take, they're like, what did you do in Japan?
I ate.
Yeah.
So one question I do have that I want to get to. A lot of girls are writing us talking about, how do I do this? How do I make money? Like, what avenues can I use? And we've talked about seeking arrangement as...
No.
No,
no, that's Splenda Daddy Central. I fucking hate seeing.
Wait, what's a Splenda Daddy?
Splenda?
Yes, wait, I've used this
sugar
for my
daddy.
Friends before. Yeah, but Splenda is a fake sugar daddy.
A Splenda Daddy is someone who tries to front like they're a sugar daddy, but they ain't got no fucking
money. And they really want
and they try
funny.
To shame you.
So wait, what about so and you're and you found your bullshit pay pig on there too?
My friend found the pay pig on
so
there. Yeah,
where what are websites besides Twitter that you have or you use?
I use Twitter mainly. FetLife is also really great.
What is it?
FetLife.
Can you spell it?
FETLIFE.
But those are guys specifically looking for certain fetishes,
no,
right?
FetLife is just like a whole fetish network. Like, it's
so
any
it
kind
with-
of fetish. Okay. Just like any kind of kink or sex, like it's like Facebook but for kink.
We should check that out.
And it's
and
really cool. And
it.
It's like straight and like at Jesus. Least they're like the slaves that have messaged me are like straight to the point. They're like, I want like
I
there's
love
none
that
of that
it's not men
foo-foo thing
that
or whatever.
Message me, it's slaves. Have you ever done it with a woman? Had a woman want to do this?
Okay. So here's my thing. I have had some women hit me up to do this, but they've been white and I don't dom white women.
Why?
I don't
really
do that because I value my life. and I don't want
you're more to, scared of white women
yes,
than white men.
Yes, because white women have there's a history with white women suddenly playing victim to try to get what they want out of you. And I can't, like, that's just like, and since I'm doing sex work and dom work, I can't be doming a girl, some white girl, and then have her be like, oh, I don't like the price of this. And then her being like, oh, she abused me. She did this to me.
Oh,
she's a,
because that's
like, I had an incident earlier this year on my birthday. I was dating this guy and it was his last day in New York City, his birth, and it was on my birthday. And we went back to his house. He was renting a room from this white woman. And she was very drunk and he tried to get her deposit back and she essentially robbed him. Like she wasn't gonna give him give it back to him. And I told her, I was like, hey, like we're not trying to hurt you or anything. Like just give him the deposit back. And long story short, like she grabbed her laptop and tried to hit me in the face with it. She attacked me with two dumbbell weights and I like was able to block her and stuff. And I kept telling him, he's also black. He's darker than I am. He's taller than I am. And I just saw what was going on and I was like, she's gonna turn around and say that you tried to do some shit to her, like we need to leave. And then so he got the owner of the building, who was another white woman, and she came in and let me tell you, fucking white lady,
white tears,
she comes in fake shaking her hands and crying. She's like, oh thank God you're here.
They
like pushed me into my bedroom and they tried to do this to me. And I was like, whoa, that never happened. And I pulled out my phone. I was like, okay, well, if we tried to do that to you, why do I have footage on my phone of you attacking me? And all of a sudden she was like, I. And I was like, oh, what, Michelle? Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you?
Because of course that was her name.
Yeah, and I was just, and that's when I was like, we need to get out of here. And he was like,
so
well, what
even,
about?
Oh, okay, so I guess what I'm understanding is even while paying for a service, you do have to protect yourself.
I do, you do. And especially, and a lot of the white women that have asked me to dom them, they want me to do blackmail shit to them. And I'm like, okay, I don't really do that.
What? What's that?
So blackmail is basically like they give you
all of their information
mm-hmm. and then they want you to threaten sending like sending their wife pictures or sending this to their house or doing this or blah blah blah. And like I don't really do that. Like if I do blackmail, what I'll do is like, first of all, the person has to write down like I give Madame Namio permission to do blah blah blah, and they take a picture of themselves holding the sign. Mm-hmm. That way if they try to say that I did any shit like that, like I can be like, no, they did this,
they
did
that. I mean, I feel like I totally get the kink, it makes sense, but like I have never really heard about.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. You have to make sure you get that consent in writing, because there have been people who have like, you know, gotten arrested,
right,
and shit for this shit, because it's your word against theirs. And it's just like, unfortunately we live in a very sexist, horophobic society, so it's like you're gonna always blame the sex worker. And
absolutely.
It's just like, I don't do, and so like, and also like a lot of the white women who have asked me to dom them want me to do like BBC fetish and shit, and I don't do that shit.
I even hate the word.
I don't do that shit.
BBC.
I hate the fucking word, bro.
It's so funny. So something that we normally do on the show is we have ho mail. And I think that this is actually a great letter that you could help with this, as we've talked about size and confidence and all of that in the bedroom. So this is actually a letter from a male listener.
Okay.
He said, hey, I am dating someone that has gotten bigger in size and lazier in mind over time. And I know she is very insecure about her weight. I am still very attracted to her and I try to continuously let her know how much she turns me on. The problem is her weight is becoming a hindrance to our sex life and her overall confidence health. Sex is very one-sided, with me doing all the work, and very routine. She has basically become a sacred virgin all over again, and with me having to teach her everything from scratch. I communicate regularly and try to help, but things don't seem to budge. It's even gotten to the point that she's not into anything spicy and has become very vanilla. Do you have any tips on ways I can encourage her, or any tips for her to get back into making things exciting? I love her and would like for our sex life. I love her and would like to love our sex life too. Thanks. Thank you for the great podcast she listens to.
Okay.
I don't think this has to do with the things he's complaining about. I don't think it have to do with her weight.
Yeah, that sounds like an insecure, like that sounds like.
But it's an insecurity thing. She's gained weight, and I definitely totally agree. Like, there's definitely been a weight gain for me, and bitch, I ain't even gonna lie. I just rode dick for the first time in probably like 2-3 years. Like,
what?
I don't be riding dick. Bitch, I be turning around and do missionary, like, I'll roll on the side, but I don't be riding dick for real.
Why?
Because even like, first off, bitch, I be tired. That should be a whole lot
you
of work.
You did run out of sex. I mean, sex. We did like sex positions. She had to guess how to do them on the show.
I was like, God damn, this is exhausting.
Bitch, I almost gave you my inhaler.
No, and so I actually just rode dick for the first time in a long time, and it was just me seeing like, bitch, can I still do this? And I got in my little froggy position and everything, like, and bounced on the dick. But I haven't done that, and it's because of my size. Like, I'm not able to move as much as I was to move in the back. So I see how...
I don't think I can give advice on this one then.
Yeah, no. And so that's why I thought it would be great to have you in the building as we're talking about size and confidence and how you said you were scared to even sit on his face because of your weight. So what advice would you give to him to maybe help him with her?
Yeah, so that I kind of went through that in college. I gained like, I went through something traumatic my freshman year of college. I was sexually assaulted and like I repressed all of it. But it was acting out in different, even though I didn't remember it, all these other things kept happening and I gained like 60, I couldn't stop eating. Like,
oh,
I was
wow.
just always, cause I just felt empty inside.
Comfort thing, yeah.
So I just kept eating and I gained all this weight and like, I was with my partner at the time and like, I wouldn't want them to like, look at me when I got out of the shower. Like I would get really self-conscious about like changing in front of them and shit. And one thing that like kind of helped was maybe it would be nice if this person took their girl out for like, a cute like kind of like shopping, like buy, like let her try on some clothes that show her like, you know what, like yeah, you gained weight, but that doesn't make it a bad thing. That just means that you got more curves for me to hug on, more spaces for me to lick up and shit. And sometimes,
but didn't he
like
say he wanted her to lose weight?
No, he said he's comfortable with her weight gain. And yeah, it hasn't affected how he looks at her. Oh. It's affected
how she looks at herself. So maybe like help her, like you can help out by being like, yo, like I know this cool, like there are a couple of fetish wear like companies that stuff that can cater to people who are larger, like get her some really nice like
can you
lingerie
refer them to any?
I think there's one like Body Love something.
Body Love.
I'll look through my phone and find it.
Yeah,
for
and we'll post it on our Instagram
page.
Yeah,
and like also just like I don't know, like doing that, like doing something like really romantic for her, like putting like rose petals and shit on the bed, like just
because
like,
making
the extra effort to show like
you're who I want.
Yeah, and you don't have to like you don't have to like say it, but you can do it through like actions. And sometimes really like a new look, like a new. Like set of lingerie, a new wig, some make like something like
come
something
on, wig.
New.
Come on, wig.
Yeah, no, wigs are very, very fucking therapeutic. Like
if
just
you
like
don't
a new
sit
look.
You and your
dude,
wig
nothing
down.
Is better than getting my hair done. I'm telling you.
No, absolutely.
You, I be curving niggas when I got new
yeah.
Wigs.
No,
it, so it's just like a new look. Well, like a new look allows for her to see a different side of herself that's still herself, but allows her to be like, oh yeah, like I am. Like, I am beautiful. Like, you know, it allows her to...
And I think also just communicating it to her, of course, in the gesture of gifts or showing her that you still think she's beautiful, but also just literally telling her, like, babe, I like everything about you. And it's something that one of my guys, it like, I don't want you to lose an inch. I love every inch of your body. And just reassuring that this weight is what I love. Like, I know you may not feel confident in yourself. And I think that it's something that has... growed my confidence over the years with my size is just the men that do deal with me because of my size. They deal with me because they like my fucking triple D breasts or they like my thighs. They love my thighs and I hate my thighs. And so the men that I deal with reassure me this, I love what you gonna lose? When I sit here and talk about going on a diet, they be like, for what?
It's so crazy what you that the lose? Things that people love about us are the things that we can sometimes be insecure about. Really random and stupid. But... and not really related, but one of the things that made me the most insecure about myself in relationships is I know that I'm super extroverted and normally I'm not attracted to those people and I'm super loud and I know I start talking to people everywhere and I feel like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm crazy. They can never think about settling down with me because I'm too chatty and I'm too this and I got this fucking podcast now and blah, blah, blah. And every man I'm with is like, I love that you're this person.
Yeah.
And I am completely worried about doing, I become this almost when I first meet someone. Not when I'm too comfortable, just like, I get in this shell and it's nothing like me. To the point when niggas start following my Instagram, they're like, bitch, you loud as hell. It's so weird that the things that people want you for, we get ashamed of.
But look at the things that like we would feel ashamed about, like you being ashamed of being like loud and expressive or us being ashamed about our size. It like it all goes down to like this shame, all this shame shit is all a product of white supremacy and capitalism, because it's basically training you to believe like you should not take up more room than anybody else. Like you need to be this small thing
right.
that is submissive, that does what it's told to do. Mm. You should not take up more room. Like I've gotten shit from guys who are like, oh, like you shouldn't wear platforms because you're tall or you're big.
Yeah, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Nice.
And yes, I wear and Amazon. I wear and I like to wear platforms because I like to be super fucking tall. I like to be intimidatingly tall.
Let me tell you, since I moved to New York, I've never in my life, I always found tall women attractive, but I've never felt inferior to tall women until New York, because I realized how dope it is. You stand out in a sea of
everywhere.
Millions of people.
Everywhere.
And it's just like, bam. And it makes me feel fucking, I can't tell you how high my heels got since I moved to New York. I'm like, no, I have to have this presence now. I get it. Bitch, I'm going to be honest. My ideal height for myself, even though it would take a lot of men out of the equation, is 5'8". That's how tall I want to be.
Really?
Yes.
And my thing is like,
sexy height.
I have no problem with dealing with someone who is shorter than me. It's just like I tend to stay away,
but also because you're a dom, I think that has a lot to do with
yeah,
you.
I think
that
does also, too. But I think it but does. Also like my issues with like guys.
Wait, but
like,
in your personal life though, are you a dom? I think we didn't even ask that.
Oh, in my I actually like being submissive.
Come on.
I actually do, because I have
to what degree
I have control over every like aspect of my life, so it's nice to kind of have that
the
like,
very
taken
opposite.
Away.
You would really enjoy we had an episode, you wouldn't enjoy the episode, he was a dick, but this may be my answer. We had a guy from Love & Hip Hop named Marcus Black on, and a lot of people wrote in and were like riding
really
for
upset,
me on that
yeah.
episode, because I talked about how I like to get spit on and shit, and he was like, hold on, and you fucking want white men? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you just like, I'm totally turned off. He was coming at me the whole episode, like trying to talk to me.
Why is he being mad about what you like to do?
So I said, I think yeah. a lot of things that you don't fucking realize is I ask for this shit and nobody's doing shit to me that I don't ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had some nigga spit on me before I tell them to do it. And I said, shit, if you, me and you been flirting with each other, if you fucked me tonight, you wouldn't be doing this shit, nigga.
Right, right.
It's total trust to be a sub. Like,
yeah, it is.
And total control.
It is. And that's why, like, yeah. there are certain things that I still have yet to try. Like, I've always wanted to, like, try being, like, restrained or tied up, but I have yet to do
bondage.
That, because that is something that I need to really trust
the person.
The other person to do. There's a lot of trust that goes into it. And at the end of the day, like, that whole, like, kink shaming bullshit is just, like, what you don't feel comfortable with doesn't necessarily mean that other people have to feel the same
Amen.
Fucking way. At the end of the day, it's really only your fucking business if what's going on is not consensual. That's when you step in and you're like, okay, we need to talk about this, or we need to do this. But if someone is talking about what they like and it's not hurting anybody, it's not race play, it's not incest play, it's not none of that toxic bullshit that people will try to label as a fetish, but it's just abuse, like that's what it is, then what the fuck is the problem? Like
right.
That's not why are you so hyped up?
I wish
up?
We almost had more time to get into why incest and race play is not okay.
It's not okay.
We might actually have to just bring you back on, because we didn't even really get
you know
to
what
talk
I
about
bring
the
back
feminism
on
stuff.
I
like,
and
we're about
to
have to wrap up.
I really hope that some of our listeners come and fucking pay you like you deserve to be paid. And if they do, I would love you to fucking say, what happened when someone found you, and how did it go? They're like, I found you on Horrible Decisions. And so for our listeners, like, can you tell them your Twitter and like how to find you? And
well, yeah, so my Instagram is Lisa Spliffson,
and we're definitely gonna post her picture so you guys can click on her and follow her,
and yeah, you can find me there. And then those who have, you know, sent the tribute and earned their right to see my Twitter will get that.
Oh, they have to pay to be your
follower. Certain people do. Certain, like, sometimes people will hit me up through Instagram and be like, oh, well, I
So do you have ConnectPal and a Snapchat that people have to pay for as well? Or?
I don't have a Snapchat, but I'm working on making, like, I have, like, a clip store where, like, people can buy, like, clips of me, like, lotioning up my boobs or whatever. Because people have paid a lot of money for that. Because I started making custom clips for certain people, and I was just like, who are like, oh, I'm not, like, into like the whole humiliation thing, but like, I really like your boobs. Like, can I just see like a video of you? Like,
they are grand.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, I lotion my
awesome. I almost want to just, like, if you don't mind, I got to get the knitting and the titty.
No, you have
the
to
knitting and the titty.
Mind you guys, this entire episode, she's been sitting across from me knitting.
I just have been, like,
she's
just
literally knitting.
Hearing you talk about, like, oh, my slave and what I made him be my fucking ashtray. Here we are, like, low-key grandma. Like, but titty's out. And oh, mm-hmm. Like,
black lipstick, a spectrum, like, a spectrum on her nose. Like, super, just, outfit. Like, super dope outfit. Just super dope. Like, and again, even when she came in, I was like, are you really gonna knit yep. during this episode?
Mm-hmm. I knit all the time. When I'm riding your dad's face, when I'm sitting here in the podcast, I'm knitting.
Boom!
I'm knitting all the
when
time.
When I'm riding your dad's face, you know, I've made a scarf.
Yeah, that's what I tell. Whenever people try to hate on me, I'm just like, you can hate me all you want, girl, because at the end of the day, your dad's sending me your tuition money because of the way that I look.
Oh, get him.
So how's that 9-to-5 you got, lady?
Yeah.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys for listening to yet another episode. You guys can catch us on Instagram at @horrible_decisions. And you could catch me on Twitter and Instagram at @FullCourtPumps. And where can they catch you, Wheezy?
Just on Instagram.
And that's at @WheezyWTF. Thank you guys so much. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Bye.